Hello, my name's Charlie. I'm a City of Westminster guide and I tour more widely with London Walks. In fact, on the 23rd of September, I'm going to be doing a virtual tour called Statues of Discord, which is about some of the controversies that have swirled around the statues and sculptures in the vicinity of Trafalgar Square. And that's got me thinking a bit more deeply about that square. You probably know that it's named after the Battle of Trafalgar, when a British fleet commanded by Vice Admiral Horatio Nelson defeated the French and Spanish and made Britain the preeminent naval power for the next 100 years. So I'd like to meet you outside the National Gallery, which is up above the square on its north side, and then walk you down the stairs in front of the gallery to the back of the square itself. Now, you might think that a square called Trafalgar with a column to Nelson in it would be just the marriage to create a perfect combination of features which would celebrate Nelson's victory. But that isn't quite how things happened. And the first inkling you might get that things are a little awry is if I ask you to take a look at the statue of Nelson himself. You're going to have to rick your neck up nearly 45 degrees to look at the man who's 52 metres up in the air and 80 metres away from your eyes at the back of the square. So when you get to see him, you then notice that he's turned his back on you. He's not actually facing anyone in the square at all. And there's no chance of getting up close and personal, because the nearer you get, the more the column obscures the statue on top of it. And it could have been worse, because the original plan was to make the column another 10 metres taller than it actually stands today. So that's one problem, but then cast your eyes back down to ground level and look, if you can, beyond the column, where Whitehall leads the way towards the Palace of Westminster. Well, the column pretty much blocks your view. And so it begins to feel that these two things are not working together. And indeed, the square and the column are two very different projects which have been jammed together into one single space. So let's go back to the beginning of the story. Nelson was killed at the Battle of Trafalgar, and it's arguable that nobody has ever been quite such a national hero as he was when his body was returned to this country. And over the next 10 years, monuments to him were put up, not just in Britain, but around the empire. Not in London, though. Come the 1830s, and a Nelson Memorial Committee was set up to remedy this defect and raise the money for a fitting memorial. At the same time, plans were afoot for a grand new central square. First conceived by John Nash, the master planner of the new West End that was laid out during and after the Napoleonic Wars. It was a space to connect that West End with the city, with Parliament, and with the royal palaces. In the 1830s, Charles Barry was commissioned by the government to build the square, at a time when he was already busy with the plans for a new Palace of Westminster at the other end of Whitehall. When the square was first thought of, it wasn't a celebration of Trafalgar, and it was supposed to be named after the king, William IV. The story goes that an Admiralty architect called George Taylor had the nerve to ask for an audience with the king to suggest that maybe he'd be happy with a name change from William Square to Trafalgar Square. And as he was waiting for his audience, he ran into Vice Admiral Hardy, the man in whose arms Nelson had died. he says he asked Hardy if he'd put it to the king, and Hardy absolutely refused. But he wasn't daunted, and apparently the king signed off on the idea pretty instantaneously. So, we have Trafalgar Square. Well, that memorial committee was still buzzing around looking for a place to put its monument to Nelson, and where would be more suitable than this grand new square named after Trafalgar? Well, Charles Barry was not happy with this. It was going to completely destroy the sight lines of his square. And there was a parliamentary inquiry into whether it would be a good idea to site it there. Despite their misgivings, the Memorial Committee won the day, and their man, William Railton, started planning to put the monument up. So you've got these two very different projects with two very different designers at work at the same time. Barry didn't change his design at all. And so if you look carefully, you can see the way that the column has just been rammed into the square. And perhaps if Prince Charles had been born 150 years earlier, he might have described it as a monstrous carbuncle on the face of a dear friend, a phrase he actually used to criticise a planned extension to the National Gallery, which did not find favour with him. Let's come forward and take a closer look at the column. Once you get within 20 metres of it, Nelson is almost totally invisible on top of his pedestal, but you can see bas-reliefs which depict Nelson's greatest victories. In front of you, as you walk towards the column, is the Battle of the Nile, and on either side, Copenhagen and St. Vincent. So where is the depiction of the Battle of Trafalgar? To see it, you're going to have to leave Trafalgar Square and go onto the pavement at its southern edge. And there, finally, you will recognise Nelson dying in Hardy's arms. But if you want to see the bas-relief and the statue of Nelson at the same time, you're going to have to cross four lanes of traffic and go onto the traffic island beyond. That's when you finally see Nelson face on. But he does seem to be looking over your head down Whitehall towards the old Admiralty buildings. And then you realise how Barry's vision has been rather ruined the other way round, because as you look up back towards Trafalgar Square, the column is in the way of the view that Barry had planned of the portico of the National Gallery. Nelson's column is a triumphalist piece of architecture, glorifying military victory in a way that future war memorials would not do. So I do find it an irony that that column has so often been a place of protest and a place where people have demanded peace. The Aldermaston marches organised by the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament used to rally there. And in 1956, Nye Bevan, the famous Labour politician, made one of his great speeches on the plinth of Nelson's column, condemning the British invasion of Suez, standing in front of the bas-relief of the Battle of the Nile, the battle which arguably made it possible for Britain to control Suez in the first place. Well, all this talk about Nelson's column, and I haven't said anything about one of its most famous attributes, the four lions. If you want to know more about them, tune in to my virtual tour, The Statues of Discord, on the 23rd of September. Until then, stay well, and I hope to see you then.